Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Kuf Yud Beis. We are on Kuf Yud Aleph. We fell a little bit behind yesterday as we are going through a really challenging Gemara here in the 13th parak of the Masechta. The parak is dedicated to the topic of marriage between a man and a ketana, marriage between a man and a chereshes. The next parak is going to continue along with these types of marriages. Let's quickly recap what we did yesterday so that we can finish off this sugya. A man marries a ketana, so that works. Even though there's no father in the equation, there's no father in the picture. But nevertheless, a chachamim allowed for a marriage to occur for the protection of a woman. We don't want a ketana to walk around being unprotected. So therefore, chachamim gave a framework in which she can have a husband. And so it's a nisun de rabbanan. Similarly, chereshes does not have das, so min haTorah she can't get married. But nevertheless, once again, the Chachamim wanted to give a framework of marriage in order to protect her, so therefore they created an Asun Durabun for her as well. What we learned yesterday is that it's a Durabun, but it's not the same. It doesn't operate the same way. So when we say it doesn't operate the same way, so what does that mean it doesn't operate the same way? So yesterday we really crystallized exactly what that means. And admittedly, this part's hard. Totally admit, but this is how we formulated yesterday. Now, this was based on a comment of Rav and Rav Chista's explanation. Again, without going through all the details right now, but this is the conclusion that we arrived at yesterday. And that, when it comes to a man and a chereshes, so how does the nisuin work? It is what's called, it's called kenuya u'mishuyeres. Kenuya u'mishuyeres means that there's a kinyan, but there's still some left over. Meaning that for a nisuin d'oraisa, it's a full kinyan, and for this nisuin d'rabbanan with a chereshes, it's a partial kinyan. Good. But when it comes to a man and a ketana, so what did we call that yesterday? We called it a suffix. Okay, and suffix is suffix in that it's either all or it's nothing, but it exists somewhere in between. No, let's not say that. Let's say it's either all or nothing. Let's call it a suffix, because that's what the Gemara calls it. Okay, and they're both derabanans, but they're not the same derabanan. Now, l'may nafkamina, what difference does it make? So, the difference is that if a man is married to both a ketana and a chereshes, and he dies, and now the two of them now presenting for the yavam. So, what is the yavam going to do? So, the yavam's going to be in a really tricky position because he does not have a zika min haTorah from either one of them. Remember, the Zika is only a reflection of the marriage, meaning if the marriage is Daraisa, Zika is Daraisa. And if the marriage is Darabanan, the Zika is Darabanan. But over here, the Zika Darabanan is coming at him, is not the same Zika. One is the Zika Darabanan of Kenuya Mishieres, that's a Chereshes, and the other Zika is the Zika Darabanan of Suffolk. So what does he do? So what did we learn yesterday? So the order of operations is that he'll start with the Chereshes, he will marry her, then he will divorce her, then, as far as the ketana is concerned, allow her to grow up, and then he'll do chalitza with her. And again, the specifics of why all that, so we did that yesterday, but that's the order of operations. And now what the Gemara commented yesterday's daf is, now it makes all the sense in the world, meaning vis-a-vis the chereshes. So what kind of kinyan are we talking about? Partial kinyan. So for a partial kinyan, so remember, the chereshes is not eligible for chalitza, that's off the table. We learned that in yesterday's daf. So the only thing that he can do is Yibum. He can marry her. But the Kenyan is not a full Kenyan. And also we want to allow the other one to be able to move on with her life. So you'll marry her and you'll divorce her. The marriage and divorce under normal circumstances totally resolves the Zika. But again, this is not a full Zika. It's a Zika Midrabanan. So there's still some other Zika still left over, notably by the Ketana. So what do you do by the Ketana? Let her grow up and you'll do Chalitza to her. Okay. And this is the formula in which you can now allow both of these women to move on with their lives. But the point of yesterday's daf is that the kinyan for the chereshes is kenuya mishieres. The kinyan for the ketana is suffix. That's what we learned yesterday, and we go forward. Something I didn't speak out yesterday, and that is that they operate differently, as we just pointed out. Why do they operate differently? So the Gemara never spells this out. But if I can, I'm gonna make an educated guess in terms of why that should be. And that is when it comes to the ketana. So again, we go back to what we already said numerous times by the ketana, and we look at the tenuous nature of her relationship. Meaning by the chereshes, what the chachamim did is they just instituted marriage. Okay, so again, it's not a nisuin d'oraisa, but it's a partial marriage. Therefore, it's a partial kinyan. Ah, but when it comes to the katana, remember, a katana can excuse herself from the marriage. She has the opportunity for miyun. And so therefore, when we talk about the marriage between a man and a katana, so why are we saying suffix? Why are we saying all or nothing? Because it could result in nothing. Meaning she could just simply say, I'm bowing out. She could refuse the marriage. She can annul the marriage. So probably that's why of the ways to look at these marriages, they're both Nisu and Derabanan, but in terms of how they operate, that's probably why by the Katana, the way to view it is either all or nothing. Okay, good. Okay, that's what we said yesterday. And now we're just finishing up this discussion. I'm going to make it sound like, oh, this is easy. This part's not easy. Yesterday's daf wasn't easy. This part isn't easy. But all really what we're going to do right now is that we're just going to validate everything we just said. So in terms of the point of the Gemara, nothing's going to change between here and the Mishnah. So an entire amud of discussing this further, and it's going to get involved. I'm telling everybody, myself included, it's going to get involved. But as far as where we're going to stand by the end of this first amud, we're going to stand the same place where we are right now. Okay, good. So I'm Rav Shesha. So where can you find us? So we're on Kufiyat Aleph Amud Aleph. We're about 6-7 lines from the top of the amud. Last word in the line is Amar, and let's get underway. Gemara starts off. I'm Rav Shesha Zachinam and Mr. Abba Kedekamatar Rav Chisa Liba the Rav. So the pshat that Rav Chisa just offered in Rav Shesha says, you know what I like to do? I like to support it because I found support in the following detanya we learned in the Braisa. Braisa teaches us Shnei Achin Nisnu Shnei Achayos Ketana Vecheresh. I skipped the word Yusamos. It probably should be skipped. The Bach tells us to skip it. Anyway, two brothers are married to two sisters. One of the sisters a Ketana, the other one's a Chereshes. Okay. So the two brothers have a marriage, which is Midrabanan. Now, Meis Balashel Ketana. So now if the husband of the Ketana dies, so now the Ketana is presenting as a Yavama. So again, her Zika is just going to be a reflection of her marriage. Her marriage is Midrabanan. Her Zika is Midrabanan. So now, what does the brother who's married to the Chereshes, what does he do? So Chereshes Yotze Beget. So as far as the Chereshes is concerned, so he's going to divorce her. V'ketana tamtem hashetakta v'tachlos. And as far as the Ketana is concerned, so wait till she gets older and do Chalitza. Once again, what the goal over here is to allow both of the women to move on with their lives. And again, because the Zika is the Rabbanan, and the current marriage that he has is the Rabbanan, so there's no way that he can resolve the Zika without impugning his current marriage. Okay. So therefore, you'll do get for your current wife and chalitza for the incoming Yavama. The incoming Yavama Ketana. Okay. I make all this sound like it's no big deal. Of course it's a big deal, but in other words, we've already heard this already. And I rarely get emotional to begin with, but over here I'm saying all this unemotionally. Okay. Now, Meis Bala Shel Chereshes. So now if the husband of the Chereshes dies, so now the Chereshes is presenting herself as a Yavama to her brother-in-law. And remember, the brother-in-law is currently married to the Ketana. So now Ketana Yotze Begev Chereshes Asur La'olam. So over here, this is an unsolvable problem. Meaning, remember, the Chereshes is not eligible for Chalitza. And so over here, so the only thing that he could do is because he could divorce his wife. Why in the world would he divorce his wife? So he would divorce his wife because she is Acha Zikukaso. She's the sister of a Zikuka. Now again, the Zika is the Rabbanan, but still a Zika. So she's Acha Zikukaso, so he has to divorce his wife. And now what about the incoming Yavama? The incoming Yavama is a Chereshes. And the Chereshes now is Acha Zishto. And and not eligible for Chalitza. Okay, so this is an unsolvable problem. The Imbala Chereshes. Now, that is all Lechatchila. That's the ideal. Now, what if he has relations with the Chereshes? Now, he shouldn't, as we just got done pointing out, but he did. So he had beer with the Chereshes, so no son like Gevahutra. So now what he can do is he can give her and get, and he can be mat to her. Now, again, why is that not an ideal? It's not an ideal because, again, she's Achos Ishto. So it's certainly not ideal. But if he does it, so then we have to acknowledge that there was a form of Yibum that took place, and now we could divorce her, and now she can move on. So Iyamar Bishlama. So now Rav Shesha says, okay. So plug in what we know. So here we go. So Iyamar Bishlam Mecheresh is Kanuya Mashiaris, Katana Kanuya, Vena Kanuya. So now if we're saying, which we are saying, that the Kanuya, that the Chereshis is a partial Kenyan, and the Katana is a Safeg, so Misham Hachi, the Chiba ala Chereshis, no Salagev, Hutra, Damar Mimanafshach. So now we understand what happened when he had relations with a Chereshis. So the Gemara says, we totally understand what happened. Because as far as the Katana is concerned, meaning his current marriage, so it's either all or nothing. So Ikatana Kanuya hi hanafka mishamachusisha. So now, if his current wife is a full-fledged wife, so then what was his sister-in-law? His sister-in-law is Petura already from the get-go. And Ilav Kanuya Shaper Miabin. And if there's no Kenyan, meaning it's all or nothing. So if it's all, so the sister-in-law is Petura. If it's nothing, so the sister-in-law now has a mitzvah of Yibum by itself. Ah, so then we understand then the psak of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, but let's flip it around. Meaning, let's go in the other direction, where the Chereshis is all or nothing, and the Katana is partial Kenyan. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't work. So Kival Chereshis, I might not sing get Vehutra. So then, when he has relations with the Chereshis, I don't understand. Then she shouldn't be free. Because Havile Bia Psula. Because what is that called? That's called the Bia Psula. Go back to the fifth parak of the Masechta, where we talked about how when a bia does not result in the resolution of the zika, so that's what's called an inferior bia. It would be a psula, lo patra. And we know that a bia psula doesn't accomplish anything. So the only way to properly understand the braisa is only by asserting that a chereshis is a partial kinyan and the katana is an all or nothing. It's a suffix. Good. So this is a support for Rav Chisda in his interpretation of Rav. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe Hamani Reb Nechemiah Damar Bia Psula Poteres Mechalitza. Maybe it's the Shita Reb Nechemiah. So again, going all the way back to the fifth parak of the Masechta, so we did see that there is a Shita of Reb Nechemiah who says that a Bia Psula does create a Petur. And maybe we'll suggest what we rejected, and we'll say that really the Chereshis is all or nothing, and still, it's true, it is a Bia Psula, but maybe it's going according to the Shita Reb Nechemiah. So the Gemara says, Reb Nechemiah ain't Masefa. It's not going like Reb Nechemiah. I know that contextually. How? Because let's go on. Let's keep reading in the Braisa. So, Misha, Nasu Ishtey Somos, Ketan Vecheresh. So let's say one man is married to two women. One's a Chereshes, the other's a Ketana. Umes, and this one man dies. So now these two women are coming from one house to as Yavamas. So, Ba Yavama, Ketana Vechazer. So if the Yavam has relations with the Katana, followed then by having relations with the Chereshis, or for that matter, another Yavam, another one of the surviving brothers has relations with the Chereshis. Either way, they both become Usr. So Ketza Takanasam. So what do you do for resolution? So Chereshis Yotzi Begev Katana Tamtim Ashitagda Vatachlots. So I'll tell you what you do. Chereshis, so you divorce her. You give her a get. And a katana, so you wait, tamtin, ad shetagda v'tachlots. You wait till she gets older and then chalitza. Once again, the chereshis is ineligible for chalitza. But we're talking about a case where you had bia with the chereshis. So therefore, a get is an option. So now, once again, let's plug in what we know. Or at least what we think we know. Which again, is correct. And that is the Chereshis is a partial Kenyan, and the Katana is all or nothing. So the Mishum Hachi, Tamtim Ashitag, Vatachlots, the Domakadim of Al, Chereshis, Beresha, Vahavile Bia de Katana, Bia Psula. So then now I understand that even though in this particular case, first Bia was done with the Chereshis, and then afterwards Bia was done with the Katana. But just for a moment, let's entertain that it went in a different order. First he had relations with the Katana, followed then by the Chereshis. So now that is a Bia Psula. But Ella Iamar Rabbi Nechemiah Hamar Bia Psula Patra. So, but if the author of this braisa is Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Nechemiah is not going to be bothered by a Bia Psula. He will shrug his shoulders at a Bia Psula, meaning that he believes that it potters her. Ella Shmamina Rabbanan he. So you see that section of the braisa is going like the Chachamim Shmamina. So therefore, Shema Minah. I'm sorry, you're right. Therefore, Shema Minah. Therefore, we get to safely conclude that the author of the Brisa is a Chachamim, that a Bia Psula will not pater. Since a Bia Psula will not pater, go back to the previous section of the Brisa, where it described where you had two brothers married to two sisters, one's a Ketana, the other's Chereshes, and in the event that the Baal Chereshes dies, presenting her now to the brother for Yibam, so what do you do under those circumstances? So, we said, really, what he should do is, for the Ketana divorcer, for the Chereshes, no resolution, but, if he has relations with the Chereshes, so now he can give her a get, and the other one wait till she gets older and give her Chalitza. All this works only under the assumption that the Chereshes is a partial kinyan and the Ketana is all or nothing. Okay, Amar Rav Ashi, Reisha Nami Shema Minah D'Rabbanan Hi. Rav Ashi says, okay, I just would like to support this point one more time that the author of the Brisa is a Chachamim, not Reb Nechemya. Diktani Im Bala Chereshes Lo Sanal Geva Hutra. So because in the earlier section of the Brisa, if he has relations with the Chereshes, so he gives her a get and she's allowed to go. And meanwhile, by the Ketana didn't make that suggestion. The Gemara says, okay, you're right. Your observation is right. But that wouldn't have moved us. Because Chereshes, the Leis Takanta de Etera Ketani, Takanta, the Isura. So the only reason why the Chereshes were even advancing the idea that you had Bia with her is because there's nothing else you could do. And even though the Bia is not ideal, it's not lechatchila, but there's no other, there's no alternate course. But Ketana di Islay Takanta de Etera, but as far as the Ketana is concerned, there always is going to be a solution for the Ketana. Wait till she becomes an adult and give her Chalitza. So lo tini Takanta di Isura. That's why the Brisa didn't give the option of having relations with her. Okay, so that section of the Brisa is not going to move us one way or another. But again, as I pointed out in the beginning of today's shir, but now we get to say it one more time. The conclusion is sound. The Gemara is happy with the conclusion that even though the Nisuin to a Ketana and the Nisuin to a Chereshes are both Nisuin de Rabbanan, they're not Nisuin de Raisa, but now we learn that mechanically they are slightly different. And in that, a Chereshes is a partial kinyan and a Ketana is a Suffolk. It's all or nothing. And we have to vacillate between the two, meaning we have to take both into account when dealing with the Ketana. And going all the way back to the beginning, meaning really yesterday's daf, that's why under the circumstance where the Chereshes is presenting herself, so therefore in terms of releasing both, you are going to be Boel and give a get to the Chereshes, follow then by waiting for the Ketana to grow up and then give her a Chalitza. Okay. Misha ya nasu lishtei yisamas. Ketanas. Okay, we're on the Mishnah. We're on the bottom of Kuf Yod Alpha, Mad Aleph, and we're going to continue along the similar lines. Now, all the cases that we're going to be addressing right now, so we know them already. Okay, so although this is all not easy, on the other hand, however, this is Chazara. So, and it's good Chazara. So a man is married to Yosomas Ketanos, so they are orphan minors, meaning that the marriage is the Rabbanan. And Uva Yavam, Al Rishon V'Chazar V'Al Hashniya. And now the Yavam comes along, has relations with the first one, and then either he has relations with the second one or another brother has relations with the second one. So, lo, pasal, es rishona, it will not impact the first one at all. Because again, they're both ketanos. And what do we say? It's all or nothing. Now, what we have to assume is that it's all or nothing, and for the next one, it's the same all or nothing. Perfect. So in other words, for the first one, which was all or nothing, so what did the Bia represent? It represented one of two things. Either it was a mitzvah of Yibum, or there was no marriage. And so therefore, she's just marrying a woman. Ah, so that's why when having relations with the second one, which he shouldn't have done, obviously, but having relations with the second one is not going to impact the first one at all. Because either the first one was a Yavama, and he did the mitzvah of Yibum, and then he resolved the Zika. Relations with the second one was just an inappropriate act. I'm not belittling it, obviously, but in other words, but it's not going to impact the first one. Alternatively, it's nothing. If it's nothing for the first one, it's nothing for the second one as well. And so therefore, the first one is not going to be impacted in terms of his marriage to the first one. Okay. Hopefully all of that was clear. V'chein. Beis charashos. V'chein beis charashos. Same thing would be true if when the husband died, he left two wives, and they're both charashos. Partial kinyan, Again, if he has beer with the second one, it's not going to impact the first one. Over here, the assumption is that whatever partial kinyan there is, so was addressed with the first one, and therefore there's nothing, it's not going to be affected at all with the second one. Okay. Ketanu v'chereshes. Oh, so what if the husband died, he had two wives? One was a ketana and the other one was a chereshes. So here now, we got to think a little bit more, but again, we did this already, meaning we know these cases already. So ketana v'chereshes. So ba yavam ketana v'chazor v'al chereshes. So sheba achiv al chereshes pasos a ketana. So now, if you have relations with the first one, follow them with relations with the second one. Again, should not have been done, right? No, nobody advised him correctly. But if he had relations with both, so the relations with the second one now is going to affect the first one. Because again, even though they're both Nisru and Durabanan, but now we know, right? This is why it's so good to have covered, you know, yesterday, Sugya yesterday. Now we know it's not the same Durabanan. They're different Durabanans. That's why relations with the second one is going to impact the first one. If he has relations with the Chereshes, follow them with the Ketana. So, and the same thing if he alternates. Meaning if he has relations first with the Ketana. I'm sorry. If he had relations first with the Chereshes, follow them with the Ketana. Same result. Meaning that the second relations is going to affect the first one. Because again, it's not the same Derabanan. Good. Now, Pikachas v'Chereshes. So let's say when the man died, he left two wives. One is a regular woman, full faculties, meaning the marriage was a marriage to Araisa. Second one's a Chereshes, and it's doing the Rabbanan. So now, So if you first have relations with the first one, and then you have relations with the second one's not going to impact the first one at all. First one was a full-fledged wife. Her Zika that's coming is a full-fledged Zika. So if the Yavam has relations with her first, so he has not only addressed, but resolved the Zika. Now he has relations with the second one. Again, perfectly inappropriate, but that's not the point. The point is that it won't affect the first one because the first one now is his full-fledged wife. Now, now let's go the other direction. First, he has relations with the Chereshes, followed then by the Pikachas. So there he's going to disqualify the Chereshes. Again, if you're following, makes perfect sense. The Chereshes' kinyan was a partial kinyan. The Zika is a partial kinyan. So even though he had relations with her first, so did he address the Zika? Yes. Did he resolve the Zika? No. Because there's still some Zika left over. So now when he has relations with the other wife, who was a full-fledged wife, who now is a full-fledged Zika, so now that's going to impugn the first wife. Okay. Gedola v'kitana will do the same thing, but now the two Yavamos are, one's an adult, the other's a minor. So this one, again, we could have figured it out on our own. The Mishnah is just spelling it out. He has relations with the adult, and then afterwards he has relations with the minor. So the relations with the minor won't affect the adult at all. Okay, good. Understood. But if first he has relations with the katana, then afterwards he has relations with the gadola. So once again, what do we know regarding the katana? It's not a full Zika. I'm tempted to say partial Zika. It's suffix Zika, right? And we're now more educated. We could say it more correctly, more accurately. It's a suffix Zika, but still, the point is still the same, meaning it's not a full-fledged Zika. So now then afterwards he has relations with the other surviving wife. Well, that's a full-fledged Zika. Okay. So that's going to impugn, the first wife. And Rabbi Lazar Omer Malam de Makatana Shetamayim Bo. So Rabbi Lazar says, okay, I hear you. What we'll do is we'll induce Miyun. Rabbi Lazar says, and under these circumstances, we'll tell the Katana, look, you have the power of Miyun. Your Miyun is an annulment. It will clear history, not only clear history between you and your Yavam, but it will clear history between you and your original husband. And that way you were never married. That way there was never a Zika with you and your Yavam. And now that will resolve. And the Amora and Paskin like Rebbe Lazar, both the Amora Shmuel and the Amora Rebbe Lazar. Right? That's a little bit confusing, but it's the Amora Rebbe Lazar telling us the Halacha follows like Rebbe Lazar, the Tana Rebbe Lazar. Utsricha. Now, hopefully this should sound familiar because this is not the first time where we paskin like Rebbe Lazar. previously in our Masechta, we had a similar scenario. It's not the same, but it was a similar scenario where we induced Mian. Remember, two brothers married to two sisters. One's a Gedola, the other's a Katana. And then the husband of the Gedola died. Now her Zika is coming at her brother-in-law while he's currently married to her sister, who's a Katana. So what do we say over there? We have three opinions amongst the Tanaim, but the third opinion was Rav Elazar, which is, we'll induce Mian. And if you remember, in the Gemara over there, we said the halach is like Rav Elazar. So this is now the second time we're hearing that the halach is like Rav Elazar. So the Gemara now is just going to explain, why do I need to hear it twice? Because So over there, I would say the halach is like Rav Elazar, because remember, over there, it is one Yavama. It's his wife and the Yavama. It's one Yavama. So without Mian, if we don't induce Mian, you mamish won't be doing the mitzvah at all. But over here, there are two widows coming from the brother. So you already did a mitzvah yibum with one of them. So maybe over here we won't induce Mian. And if all I had was this case over here, so in this case over here, well, there are two women coming at you, one of them being Gedola. So then so in this case over here, we're going to induce Mian. But maybe in the previous case, we wouldn't necessarily have thought so. Tzricha, both cases are therefore necessary. Good. Adkan. That takes us to the end of, I'll call it yesterday's daf. We are up to the next Mishnah. Kuf Yod Alef Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud, Yavam Katan Shabal Yavam Katana. Okay. So, we are going to shift gears just a little bit over here. And we're talking now about the death of her husband. And now, classic case of Yibum. It just happens to be the surviving brother is a minor. And the Yavama is a minor. Okay. And over here, we don't have to strain too hard, meaning how can they both be minors? It's very simple. Meaning the surviving brother was born much later on. And so he's just simply at this juncture a minor. And as far as the Yavama is concerned, so she could easily have been a minor. Either she was married off by her father, or as we learned, she could have been married off by her brother or by her sister. By her mother or by her brother. Either way, we can have a case where both the Yavam and the Yavama are minors. What do you do? Yigadlu ze im ze. So what you do is you wait. In other words, wait till they become adults, and then afterwards you'll counsel. Right? There's a mitzvah of yibum. You could do yibum. If you don't want to, you could do chalitza. But yigadlu ze im ze. You wait till they grow up. Until they grow up, as Rashi points out over here, you can't do anything. Meaning he can't issue a get. He's not an adult. So he can't also do chalitza as well. He's not an adult. Okay, it's fine. So we'll wait. Now, Ba'al Yavama, Gedola, so Tigad Lenu. Now, let's say he has relations with his Yavama who happens to be a Gedola. Okay, so now, once again, Tigad Lenu. So you're going to wait till he becomes an adult. Now here, what happens when he becomes an adult? Stay tuned. Ha Yavama Sha'amra B'soch Shoshim Yom Lo Nivalti. Okay. Next cases in the Mishnah are the following. Okay, let's say we had Yibum. Now, we know that the mitzvah of Yibum is Bia. We all know that. We established earlier in the Masechta very clearly. So, but let's say we had some sort of Yibum ceremony. Okay? I don't know. Let's call it, you know, they had some crackers, right? Okay, good. Okay. Anyway, so we had a Yibum ceremony. So, obviously, the Bia is going to be done privately. Okay? And now she makes the following claim. So it's now within 30 days of the Yibum ceremony, and she comes to base and she says, look, this is uncomfortable, but we didn't have Bia. And I don't know what's happening right now, but we didn't have Bia. So Kofano Soshiach Losa. So at that point in time, so we say to him, look, she's claiming right now that no Bia occurred. And so, right? You got to resolve this, meaning there's a Zika. The Zika has to be resolved. And if you're not interested in having relations with her, so then do chalitza. Now, la'achir shloshim yom mevakshim memen shiach lotza. If let's say her claim comes after 30 days from the Yibum ceremony, So then, mevakshin heimenu. So then we just simply ask him, hey, could you do chalitza? Okay. Now, why within 30 days kofin? Why after 30 days mevakshin? So we're going to see together in the Gemara. So let's just wait a little bit, and that will be clarified. Now let's say, what has he been countering up until now? We're not sure. But let's say his full admission on his part. You know what? After 30 days, right? She says, we didn't have bia. And he just simply shrugs his shoulder and he says, she's right. We didn't have bia. So then, afilu achar shnimasar chodesh, kofin oso shiachlotza. So then we say to him, look, right? This is unacceptable. Meaning, either you're going to do bia, meaning the mitzvah of Yibam, or you're going to do chalitza. And you're admitting that you're not having bia with her for whatever the reason is. Okay. Chalitza. In other words, and we're not asking you, we're telling you. Chalitza. Let's say that while her husband was alive, she's just had it with her brother-in-law, right? Her husband's brother, she cannot tolerate him, okay? She's had it with him. And she makes a neder against him, right? He's not getting any hana from us. This is ridiculous, right? Your brother's a bum. Okay, good. Okay. Normal, healthy relationships that exist within, you know, almost every family. Okay, good. Kofen oso shiachlosa. Now, she at that point in time was not forecasting Yibum. In other words, her husband's alive and well, and she was not forecasting Yibum. So we assume over there that the nether was made with the best of intentions. Now I say the best of intentions, meaning it's terrible that there's such acrimony in the family that she's making a neder. So I'm not, everyone here understands. I am not condoning the neder. We're just simply saying that this neder was not in response to Yibum, because she at that point in time wasn't forecasting that there was going to be Yibum. She wasn't expecting her husband to die. Therefore, we assume the sincerity of the neder. We therefore will now that her husband dies, now she's confronted to Yibum, to a man which we know she hates, and she made a neder against him. So then, kofen oso shiachlosa. So there, we're not asking him, we're telling him, you must do chalitza. However, la'achem, he says, ba'ala mevakshin imenu shiachlosa. But let's say it's after the death of her husband. And now she sees that Yibum is right now on the table, and now she makes a neder. So the only reason why she's making a neder is because she simply doesn't want to be with that man. Now, one can easily suggest under these circumstances, hey, why don't we ask him to do chalitza? Well, we do. What we're not going to do is that we're not going to force him to do chalitza. That's interesting that you don't force him to do chalitza under these circumstances. Clearly she doesn't want you, but if the neder is only made for this purpose and for no other purpose, so it's a mitzvah. In other words, and you're making a neder now against a mitzvah. Now granted, it's not a mitzvah like shaking lulav, meaning it's a human mitzvah with another human being, but still, her neder is now against the mitzvah, so there we don't force him to do chalitza. Now, it's a strange scenario, but let's say that even while her husband is alive, she makes a neder against her brother-in-law, but she articulates, do you know why I'm making a neder against my brother-in-law? This is called my insurance policy. That in the event that my husband dies, so I don't want to be with him. So in other words, she's telling us that her neder is just simply to anticipate a possible Yibum. So once we know that, so then we're not going to force him to do chalitza in the event that her husband dies, and now she's a candidate for Yibum, we're not going to force her husband to do chalitza. Again, her neder is going against the mitzvah, so there we won't compel him to honor the neder. Okay. There's a lot to cover here in the Mishnah, and Mir Hashem, between now and the end of today's daf, which hopefully I'll finish the perek today, so we're going to address a lot of points in the Mishnah. Lema masisin de lo kareb meir, de tanya katam v'ketana lo chosim v'lo misyavim div Reb Meir. So, our Mishnah's not going like Reb Meir. Why? Because Reb Meir does not allow for chalitza, for yibam while they're ketanim. Remember, the sheet of Reb Meir, we've gone over it numerous times throughout Shas, here in this Masechta as well, and that he's choshishin lemiyuta. He's worried about the small chance. The small chance of what? Well, they're minors right now. We don't know about his potency, and we don't know about her ability to carry a child. he may be a sris. She may be an islandess. Under those circumstances, there's no mitzvah. So therefore, Reb Meir says, I'm worried about that concern. Statistically, it's a small chance, but I'm worried. Therefore, no chalitza, no yibum while they're katanim. Afilatim Reb Meir. The Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir. Ki am a Reb Meir gedola katam katana lagadol. Dechad mina would be a disurahu. Avakat naba katana dervai ki adadin ninu lo. So lo amar. Maybe in our Mishnah's case over here, I don't know, says the Gemara. Maybe they're both minors. Maybe Reb Meir wouldn't be so bothered. Meaning if it's a gadol and a katana where the concern is by her and he's an adult subject to averos. And remember, if in fact she turns out to be an islandess, he's violating an isser because it's a shesachiv. The only way it's a mitzvah and mutter is only if she is not an islandess. Chances are she's not an islandess, but Rameir's choshesh lemiuta. But over here where he's a minor and she's a minor, maybe it's an isser, so what? Meaning they're both minors. Okay. And I'm just thinking out loud. You know, generally speaking, we want to prevent children from violating averus based in is separates in order to prevent doing averus. Okay. And over here, the Gemara doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Anyway. So, v'haktani bal yavam gadola tegad lenu. So the Gemara says, okay, but did you read on in the Mishnah? Meaning the Mishnah also entertains a case where he's a katan and she's a gadola and they had relations. So, I'm Rabbi Chanina Chuza ba shani. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is talking about only after the fact. He had relations with her, but in other words, it wasn't under advisement. So the Gemara says, "V'hatigad lenu kamar dechol bi abia disurahu." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but read on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, and what if he, the minor brother, had relations with her, with his adult sister-in-law? Okay, so they should wait. Now, I didn't make this clear in the Mishnah, but now I can. The Gemara says it clearly, and by waiting, meaning they'll still live together as husband and wife, and they'll continue to do so until he's an adult. Once he's an adult, if let's say they want to terminate, well, chalitza no longer is an option, but he can give her a get. Anyway, what comes out over here is that we have now not just b'di'evit, but even going forward, we have him having relations with her. He's a minor, she's an adult. And if you're a mayor, or shouldn't you be concerned that he may be a sris? So Allah machvarta masis and the mayor. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, you're right. Our mission is not going like Reb Meir. Small question the Gemara asks over here. It's not so small, but kari kan lachim lachiv shem v'hai labar hachihu. You know, the whole purpose of yibum is to procreate and to replace the deceased brother. And over here, he's a minor. That's not happening. He's a minor. So Amar Abayi, Amar Kra Yevami Yavolah Kol Dehu. So Abayi says, yeah, but in the pasuk it says Yevami Yavolah Kol Dehu, meaning even if he is, it's any kind of relations, even one that presently won't produce a child. Rav Amar Balav Hachi Nami Lamatzis Amar. Rav says, look, even without the drasha, meaning if we just left it to our reasoning, we can argue that of course there's a mitzvah of yibum even if he's a minor. Why? Because Mika Midashta Asira Lovasa Shaita Sharya, Vam Rav Yun Amarav Kol Yvamashin and Nikore Bishas Nefila Yvami of Allah, Hareike Shasach, Shesh Labanim Vasura. Here's what we know. We've seen this already numerous times in our Masechta. Let's say it again. And that is that the mitzvah of Yibum must be under the circumstances where the first time she presents herself to him as a candidate, it must be that they are mutter to one another. It cannot be where when she, at the point of candidacy, she's a surah, and then at a later point in time, she becomes muteris. That's simply not a candidate. Over here, if in fact you're going to suggest that the katan is exempt from the mitzvah of yibum, i.e. it's usur, we don't have a framework in which you start off as isser and end off as heter. It just doesn't exist. So ve'ema hachinami, so the Gemara says, how about this? How about let's suggest that because he's a minor and currently prohibited to her, maybe he should remain prohibited to her. So the Gemara says no, because look at the pasuk regarding the mitzvah of Yibum. It says ki yeshu achim yachdav, the brothers were together in this world, meaning, and the Torah does not give us ages, meaning even if the brothers, surviving brothers, are one day old, that's ki yeshu achim yachdav. So we see clearly over here that the Torah allows for a yavam to the mitzvah of yibum, even if he's a minor. Okay.
Usually when it comes to age, we say for das, it's 13 years, but for bia, it's 9.
Right.
Here we seem to be conflating that and using godless 13
for bia. Right. So for a 9-year-old, so it has effect. And in terms of what the effect is, so a bia of a 9-year-old has an effect where it's like mimer. That we said earlier. All we're saying right now, we're not looking at the effect of the abiyah. We're just looking at, is it allowed altogether? Meaning, can he even engage in the mitzvah altogether? He's not a bar das, so he's not fulfilling the mitzvah, but at the same time, however, she's a shesachiv. So can it even be allowed altogether? That's the more fundamental question that we're dealing with over here. And the Gemara's conclusion is, yeah. In other words, it's in other words, it's in the framework of Yibam, even though he's not doing the mitzvah at all. Yavamasham Rabbisok Shoshim Yom Antanada Talsin Yom and make him Inisha Nafshe. Ah, so now we're gonna get a little more clarity on the next cases of the Mishnah. Next cases of the Mishnah is where claims and counterclaims. She makes a claim within 30 days, we didn't have Bia. Okay. We take her claim seriously. After 30 days, we take her claim less seriously. Okay. Within 30 days, the claim is that we didn't have relations. So we say to the husband, look, she's making a serious claim against you. You must give her chalitza. We're not asking, we're telling. After 30 days, we ask him. We don't tell him. So the Gemara wants to understand why within 30 days are we now going to inform him, instruct him to do chalitza. It must be a function of the fact that within 30 days, she could be right. Meaning that a man is alone with a woman, and again, this is now a new husband and wife, and he's going to be able to withhold, to restrain himself. So maybe up to 30 days he can. No way he can restrain himself more than 30 days. So the Gemara says, you know who says like this? It's Reb Meir. So I'm Rav Yochanan Rebbe Meir. This idea is Ishita's Rebbe Meir, D'Tanya, because we're going to learn together in Ksuvos. Funny part is that we're not... This Braisa, we're not going to learn together in Ksuvos. It's a Tosefta, and it's funny. We're seeing it over here. Anyway, the opening of Ksuvos. We're going to see it in a really short amount of time, in about a week and a half. We're going to start Ksuvos, and the first thing we're going to learn in Ksuvos, right? Ksuvos is all about marriage, and where does the first Mishnah start off in? In claims and counterclaims. It is the opposite of romantic. Okay, good. And Tainus Besulim, right, is our opening discussion in Ksuvos, where... He claims that she's not a basula. Okay, and he'll go to court. In fact, back in the good old days, it's the first mission we're going to learn together. So they legislated that marriages should happen on Wednesday, because Thursday now, what are you going to do? If necessary, you'll run to Beis Din. we're at the zenith of romance. It can't get any better. Okay, and the Gemara is going to ask the question over there in Ksuvos, why not get married on Sunday? Because Beis Din does get together on Monday. Okay, when we get to Ksuvos, we'll talk more about that. This Tainus Pesulim, this claim of my wife is not a Besula. Okay, so, is there a statute of limitation? That's what we're learning right now. So the Tosefta says, Tainus Pesulim kol shlosh yamim divrei Rebbe Meir. So the statute of limitation is up after 30 days. Meaning, after 30 days, he wants to come to court now. A month and a half later afterwards and say, my wife's not a basula. Well, why didn't you tell us this right after you got married? What's happening over here? And don't tell me you didn't have relations with her. We're 40 days later. We're 50 days later. You had relations with her. Okay. So Reb Meir's of the position that up to 30 days, we can assume that he can restrain himself for whatever reason. And Reb Yossi, Almer, Nistra La'alta Lo Nistra Af La'acher Kamashanim. And Reb Yossi says, no, a man can't restrain himself not for one night. He's with his new wife. Okay, so and if for whatever reason they weren't alone together, okay, so then there is no statute of limitations, but that's in a very strange scenario. Anyway, our Mishnah that talks about restraint for 30 days, so that's going like Rav Meir in Ksuvos. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Rabba Amar Filo Tem Rav Yossi, Ad Kan Lo Kam Rav Yossi, Asim Allah Baris Aso, De Gispa Ava Yishasachiv, Mivzez Bazez Mina, and to which the Gemara says, how, not comparable at all. In the case of Ksuva, so who are you marrying? You're marrying, okay, now I'm going to sound romantic. You're marrying the love of your life. Meaning, it's your wife, right? It's your brand new wife. You're newlyweds. So over there, so it could very well be that Rav Yossi will tell you, how much restraint does a man have with his wife? The answer is one night, and that's it. we don't assume anything more than that. But when it comes to a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, right, it's obvious that it's awkward. And in other words, for whatever, I'll give a little bit of narration, right? For years now, it's his brother-in-law. And now they're going to be together and they're going to have relations with one another. Now, granted, it's a mitzvah. But again, there's a human side to it as well. It's awkward. So over there, Rav Yossi will tell you that if we're talking about Yibam, so yeah, so you can say that they didn't have relations for 30 days, up to 30 days. Okay, good. Cases are not the same. Okay, so she's coming to court, right? They had some sort of Yibam ceremony, and she's coming to court, and she's saying, we didn't have relations. So what do we instruct within 30 days? What do? We instruct. And we tell the Yavam, okay, now you got to give her chalitza. The Gemara over here, I'm sure you were wondering this back in the Mishnah. I got a better idea. How about we tell him, hey, that's your Yavama. Why don't you do the mitzvah of Yibam? All right, have relations with her. Okay, obviously, with better bedside manners than what I just suggested. Okay, fine. But in other words, but why aren't we advocating Yibam? So Amrav Bishigita Yotze Mitachas Yada. So what we have to do is that we have to add context to the Mishnah. You're right. Meaning if within 30 days she's coming and she's saying we didn't have relations, so then we'll turn to him, and if right now the whatever the issue is, our first solution, of course, is going to be Yibam. Of course. But the Mishnah over here, which is only advocating Chalitza, is talking about where she comes to court. Not only is she saying that we didn't have relations, but furthermore, she also was issued a get. He issued a get to her. Oh, okay, fine. Now we have good reason to believe he's not interested. Now again, he gave her a get. Right? That sounds strange, right? Hold that thought. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges. So, if she comes within 30 days saying that we did not have bia, regardless of what his counterclaim is, chalitza is, we're gonna instruct him to do chalitza. Now, la'achar shloshim yom, mevakshin imem neshiach losa. After 30 days, so we're only gonna ask him to do chalitza, but we're not gonna instruct him to do so. Because again, the assumption is that after 30 days, he probably did not restrain herself. She's coming to court after 30 days. Okay. So she wants out. Fine. He omers nivalti, vuhu omer lo nivalti. She says we had relations. He says we didn't have relations. How is it yotzi beget? Okay. So at that point in time, now she's clearly, she wants out of the relationship, but he says that they had bia. So they had bia. So then they're married. And therefore, the severance over here comes in the form of a get. Hu omer balti, vuhi omeres. Lo nivalti, he said we had relations. She said we didn't have relations. Alpha pishachazva amar, lo baalti tzarech geve chalitza. Even if at a later point in time he changes his claim, nevertheless, getting chalitza are going to be required. Anyway, what comes out over here, is that the chalitza is going to be instructed, even if she wasn't issued a get. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Ami, Tricha Chalitza Im Gita. All right. So what you're going to have to do is that you're going to just simply have to fill in the blank in the Braisa. Meaning what's missing in the Braisa is that when she comes and claims they didn't have relations, she also is showing the get, meaning a clear demonstration by the husband, he's not interested. Rav Ashi Amar, Hasam Get Lizika So, Hacha Get Libi Aso. Rav Ashi says, no, you don't have to say that. The get is coming to address the Zika, and the get is coming to address the Bia. Okay. Hanu shteyem modim de asalakami de Rava. So, a Yavam Yavama come to Rava, and they are both in admission that they didn't have relations. Amalu Rava, chalutzulu v'sharila tigra. So Rava says, good. So I'll give you the best advice, and that is give her chalitza. Amalu Rav Shravi, la Rava v'atayin tzricha get v'chalitza. What do you mean? Don't you need also a get as well? So Amalei Itanya Tanya. So at which point in time? So Rava says, look, you have a Braisa. Okay, fine. I'm going to follow the Braisa. And that is that you're going to have to issue both Chalitza and get. Again, they've been living with each other for some time already. We have to at least entertain the possibility that they had relations. Good. Get en chalitza. Ba'mine honbere de Rav Nachman, mid de Rav Nachman, sarasamahu. What if now there's a chalitza that's going to be issued because of her claim? Again, she's coming with a claim at some point later that they didn't have relations. Oh. In other words, now remember, once he did Yibam to her, all the other co-wives now are free to go. Okay. So, but now, 2 months later, they're in court. What's happening? She claims that they never had relations. Oh, no. So that means what? The Zika has never been resolved. If the Zika has never been resolved, so all those co-wives now are locked into that Zika. Right? That's a problem. But it's only, right. And it's only a problem because of her claim. So what the Gemara now wants to know is, how seriously do we have to take this claim? So regarding the co-wives, regarding herself, we're going to take the claim seriously. Even if she's not right, I did not mention this back in the Mishnah, but it's not too late. Shavya nafsha chaticha d'isura. Meaning, but it's okay. In other words, she wants to accept this upon herself that they didn't have relations. She may absolutely do so. Does it impact the co-wives? So Amar Lei, so his answer is very clear. Well, just because we are addressing her claim doesn't mean it's going to impact the co-wives. Meaning, as far as the co-wives are concerned, Yibum was done. Meaning, again, they had some sort of ceremony. Yibum was done. Okay, as far as the co-wives are concerned, we're going to assume they had relations. Vis-a-vis him and her now, she wants to make a claim. It will affect her and only her. It will not impact the co-wives. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. Tanan Hasam, here's the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Nedarim. Okay, three women are going to be able to collect a ksuva upon the following claims. Claim number one: Tamei Anilach. She's married to a Kohen, and she says, "I got terrible news to tell you. I was violated." We know Ishes Kohen, that's an Anusa, is no longer permitted to her husband. It's a tragedy. It's a halacha. It's the claim she makes. Okay. So originally, what we did is that we said, look, it's unfortunate. The marriage is going to have to terminate, and you're going to give her a ksuva. Claim number two: Hashamayim beini leveincha. Heaven separates me and you. That's obviously extraordinarily vague. Rashi explains: Shamayim beini leveincha galuv yadu lefanav sheincha nezakek li kederch bnei adam vein ish. We're just simply not having marital relations, and you know it, and I know it. But of course, this is intimate. This is intimate information. No one else knows this. Okay, that's claim number two. Claim number three is netulani mina yehudim. Claim number three is that look, for me, unfortunately, relations is too painful. I can't have relations with you. Truth of the matter is, I can't have relations with anyone. It's just too painful. So for these three claims. So originally the claim was honored, and he would pay her ksuva. Chazul Amar Shalotehe Isha Nosenes Eineha Beacher Umekakalos Abala. And then unfortunately, once women recognized and realized that these claims can excuse them from the marriage, and unfortunately it must have been that women abused this kind of credibility. So then a change of policy. And that is Ella, how immersed may Ani and Lach Tavi Rai Lidvara. With the first claim, so she's got to bring proof that she was violated. Okay. I can't imagine that's easy, but that's number one. Number two, Hashamayim Beni Levencha Yasu Derech Bakasha. And if she's claiming that they're not having relations, so Yasu Derech Bakasha, there must be some form of investigation. Again, how exactly that's done, not clear. But anyway, once again, the point, however, is that we don't just simply go on her word. And finally, for the third claim, Netulani ben mina Yehudim, Yafir Chalko Misham Shato ben Netula mina Yehudim. He could be made for her neder, and in other words, her claim is not going to be honored, even in the third claim as well. Ibayilahu Netula ani mina Yehudim liyavamahu. Let's say that third claim of being very painful, is that also going to be for the Yavam as well? Will that include the Yavam? Is she forecasting a thing about the Yavam, even though her husband is alive and well? Me, maska adaita demes ba'ala v'nafla kama yavan olo. Do women think like that? Meaning when making a neder, are they anticipating they may be a candidate for Yibam? Rav Amar Yavam in Kabbal, Shmuel Amar Yavam Harei Kabbal. So Machlokus Amaraim between Rav and Shmuel. Amar Abaye Kavasa de Rav Mistabra. So Abaye says, I think Rav is right. Why? Did none. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Hanuder Zanami Yavma Bechaye Bala Kofanos Oshiachlos. So we'll go back to our Mishnah. What did we learn in the Mishnah? She is making a neder from her brother-in-law. So while her husband's alive, so kofenos sheyachlot. So what we're going to do is that we're going to compel chalitza. V'imisa demaska daita mevakshin mi bayele. Remember, if all her neder is to counter the mitzvah, so there we will not necessarily honor her neder, because again the neder is going against the mitzvah. Ah, but if her husband's alive and well, she's not thinking about the mitzvah. All she's thinking about is, I hate my brother-in-law. That's the only thought running through her head. So, so the Gemara says, well, maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where she has children. Why is she not thinking about Yibum? Very simple, because she has children. There's no mitzvah of Yibum with children. So the Gemara says, I don't think that's the pshat in the Mishnah, because now there's going to be a distinction between having children and not having children. So, then the Mishnah could have been making a much sharper distinction. And that is, so why didn't the Braisa make that distinction? Why didn't the Mishnah make that distinction? That would have been a much better distinction. So it makes a difference whether she had children, whether she doesn't have children. A woman, while her husband is alive and well, is not anticipating Yibum. So, Kirash Mamina. And that's like Shitas Rav, that when a woman makes a neder, she is not incorporating, including her Yavam, in it, because she is not anticipating that she'll be a Yavama. Even though it could happen while her husband's alive, that's not in her state of mind. That's not what she's thinking. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the perek. Hajlach Bei Shammai, tomorrow morning, Yemir Hashem, we start the new perek. Okay, we did really well today in terms of catching up and completing a really difficult sugya. Quick recap of today, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the conclusion of the Nisui de Rabban of Ketana Chereshes. They are both Nisui de Rabbanon, but mechanically they're not the same. Good. And go back to yesterday and today's daf, where we went over that in much greater detail. The Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph on the bottom, taking us to the top of the Amud Beis, talked about various scenarios where two co-wives are coming to him. One's a Ketana, the other's a Chereshes. One's a Ketana, the other's a Gedola. And going through all the permutations of what happens when he has relations with both of them. Shouldn't have done it, but he did so. How is relations with the second going to impact the first? Depends. See the Mishnah inside. In the case where it's a Gedola and Ketana, Rebbe Elazar says, will induce Mion from the Ketana. Halacha is like Rebbe Elazar, second time in the Masechta that we heard that when you have a chance to induce Mion, we're in fact going to induce Mion. Next Mishnah, what if they're minors? The Mishnah says, okay, so if the Yavam and the Yavam are minors, they could be with each other. Even if the Yavam is a minor and she's a Gedola, there too they could be with each other. Our Mishnah's not going like Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is Choshesh and Lemiyuta. Rebbe Meir is that small concern, that slight chance that she is a Islander, he's a Sris. So our Mishnah's not going like Rebbe Meir. Good. The claims that they didn't have relations. If it's within 30 days, we're going to honor her claim and we're going to force him to do chalitza. But we learn together in the Gemara on Kof Yud Beis, that's only when she also has a get as well, which is a clear demonstration on his part, he is not interested. Then we're going to force chalitza. After 30 days, she claims that they didn't have relations. We're going to assume that they did have relations. A person does not restrain himself for more than 30 days. For a newlywed wife, we assume not for one night he'll be able to restrain himself. But for a sister-in-law, so who now he's marrying as a Yavama, so okay, for 30 days, we'll assume that maybe he can restrain himself for 30 days. After 30 days, we no longer assume that. If she claims they didn't have relations after 30 days, we will honor her claim, but we won't force him to give a chalitza. We'll just simply request that he gives her a chalitza to honor her claim. Okay, and finally, we did the Mishnah at the end of Nedarim, and we asked the question that when a woman makes a neder, is she including in her neder a potential yavam, even though right now she is happily married with her husband, but is she thinking about her yavam at the time? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Our Mishnah is fully supportive of the Shita Rav. She's not thinking about her yavam at the time.